CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hello, Leanne Moll. Hello, Sia Sangweni. And hello to everybody who's watching us live on YouTube, everybody who is on CliffCentral.com and the podcast channels. And if you're listening to us at a time that we are not live, that's also fine. We're not even going to judge. How's that, huh? How we operate. There's a no judgment zone. That's how we do things. Sure. Weekend, very, very nice. I took 2 days out to do a little... it was a strategy session, so it really does count as business, but I did it out of town, which was very, very nice. And had some enjoyable Durban weather, which, let me tell you, is so much better than what we have to deal with in winter. It just doesn't feel...
Make us envious.
I know.
Carry on.
It doesn't even feel like they know what winter means in Durban. It's just, it's a totally different world. They don't understand cold. I don't know what cold is.
I was in the process of just looking at other jobs and seeing what's out there and, you know, keeping my side hustles on the go.
Yeah.
And one of the jobs, or the specs I looked at and I thought, well, that sounds quite nice.
Yeah.
And then only afterwards I realized it was in Durban. And I thought, well, you know, everyone's working remotely, so maybe I should apply. But maybe they actually want me there. And I wasn't pissed off about that at all.
Yeah. I mean,
I thought, ooh.
You know, and Durban people are so much more relaxed and happy as a result of the fact that they have better weather. I mean, they're not like we are.
Yes, tell us more.
Bitter and twisted. Yeah, I know. That's where you come from. By the way, speaking of looking at side hustles, and Leanne is very busy with that at the moment. Her Oxford Street prostitution job ended a couple of years ago, and she's been
it's very difficult being a mistress in these times.
Mm. So very hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, see,
I've got some remote work on that, but it's not the same.
Yeah, you do, right? And honestly, you know, I mean, Sia, you would know about the rich husband idea. You've been trying for so long to get that right, and it's just it hasn't happened for you yet. Oh, it's very frustrating, Sia. Mm-hmm. Shame. I do feel for you. I do think that you've tried your very best. You've thrown the
thank you.
You've thrown those leads out there, and now you're just waiting for a fish to bite. Just really, you know.
And I've thrown my back out trying to lure some of these men.
Sticking your leg out into the road like that, it's not great.
Ooh.
No.
We've never
made it a formal thing, but you do realize that if you find a rich guy and I find a rich guy and they prefer the other one of us, we need to
just do a swap,
put each other in touch, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Just checking.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm all hands on deck for that. Hands, all feet, all bodies.
You guys are by no means precious about like the who and the what. It's really just the money that you're interested in.
He could work for the who, he could not. Ethics right now, out the door.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Absolutely. Now, at least you're honest about it. You know, we know what we're dealing with you.
Yes!
So there's quite a lot to talk about this morning. There's a lot going on. But speaking of the side hustles, Sia is going to be moving on to a very new job very, very soon, which means he's with us for only a short while longer. Yeah, I know. I just thought, you know what? Let's just put that out there and let people know. Have you told Leanne yet, or is she about to have a coronary thrombosis?
No, he's told me.
Yeah.
I've eased her into it. Yes.
Mm.
He's got a really interesting offer, and it's in a big corporation, and it's the kind of thing that I think Sia will enjoy doing because, you know, at Cliff Central he hasn't really had. He's been able to do pretty much whatever he wants, but there isn't a structure and there isn't the room that you need to grow in a corporate world that he's going to take on now. And I'm really excited for you. I think it's going to be awesome, man. I think it's going to be lovely.
Let's do it. Let's save all of this for the last show. We have seven shows to go.
I just thought I'd tell people. So, you know, now everybody knows and no one has to freak out. So that's what's happening. Just in case if you wonder when you tune in like next Monday and Sia's not around, you're like, oh my God, what happened? you know. Yeah.
I am in the process of savoring everything now. So for the first time in a very long time, I woke up and I wasn't like, it's so early.
Yeah, you kind of appreciate those things when you realize you're not going to be doing them anymore. Funny, I didn't start appreciating the TV show when we finished that, because we've recorded our last shows. And
it might be a sign.
I'm not missing any of that. I'm so relieved that today we don't have to go into ENCA to record. I'm thrilled.
There's just a tiny longing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so strange, though, how when you're in the process of changing anything in your life, whether it's a new workout routine or, I don't know, if you've moved to somewhere new or if you've changed jobs, you always, everything good about it and everything bad about it is like super highlighted towards the end.
Yeah.
Because you either go, oh, I never have to do this again, or, oh no, this will be the last time that I do this.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
How are you feeling about all that stuff? Because you've got one more week and then you're not going to have to deal with like Andre's stupid messages in the morning or having to give Leanne and I wake up calls or any of that shit. But then there also are some things you might actually miss, you know?
Not even might. There's a lot of things I absolutely will miss. You know, there's I guess even with the TV show wrapping up for the season, I've been projecting my own feelings towards you and the team, because a lot for me is wrapping up now. I have only ever wanted to work in the media industry, and I've only known the media industry thus far, but I think and thought it is time for a different challenge and to shift gears a little. But I'm a communicator. I'm a talker through and through.
Mm.
I'm that person who stands in a queue with you at the grocery store, and I don't mind if we get into a conversation. I like to know what's going on in the news. I like to know trending topics. So all of that, and not having an outlet every morning, that's going to be very difficult for me to talk about. Because, you know, yes, you guys judge me with my thousands of screenshots, but I was going over the weekend and I was screenshotting and I was like, okay, we can talk about this on Tuesday and then this on Friday. Then I'm like, no, after next Wednesday, there won't be any more.
Yeah.
I know. So, this has been my life, and it's a big chapter. So that's going to be a lot to deal with.
So corporate, eh? Have you got your little suits all bought and steamed? And
you guys,
is it going to be remote?
You can call me Mr. Sanguini from now on.
Yeah, you're gonna have to dress up, which you don't have to do for us in the mornings. But, I mean, you might quite like that because you do like dressing up. Yeah, I think it's going to be up your street.
I'm still in my alcoholic pants, my alcoholic sweatpants. But now I wonder, you know, will I have like an extension number? Will you call me on an extension? Will you try and reach me? And hey, then there's a on the line.
Yeah, we'll have that music that they play when they put you on hold for those big companies, and you're waiting to kind of hear whether or not you're going to speak to them or not. Where is that music?
Yes.
I mean, it's the same everywhere, no matter what, and it's always the worst. Yeah, this one. This is the music.
I want to tell.
This is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Panpipes.
Sia Sangweni will be with you in a minute.
And I'll want to tell him something important.
And you'll be put on hold.
A complete stranger will pick up and go, hello, Sia's desk, can I help you? And I'll go, hi, is Sia there? No, he's not. Yes. Can I be of assistance?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, no, because I need to speak to Sia.
Yeah. And you'll say, well, it's about a vaginal matter. And then, you know, because that's what we would.
Oh, Lord. Like,
No, because on this show, that would be on the running order, you know, for the show the next day. And then people wouldn't understand that at a company. They'd be like, what?
No.
Why are you talking about that stuff? Oh, my God. Someone just called to talk about vaginas with Sia. And, very strange.
I actually now have to know proper HR procedures.
Yeah.
I got a really nice message from Jasmine Mulholland. We had her on the other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And No, no, she was on talking about her, her gin that she's done with Musgrave and the art gallery that she's actually doing a show at the moment. And she said sales are doing great in both art and gin thanks to her being on the show. So I was thrilled about that.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, seems like it really worked out. So she says hi and thank you, everybody who's been supporting her since she was on the show last week. Very, very nice. So let's get into...
So Jasmine spoke to me, though, last week, and she's freaking out slightly. Maybe when we get her on in future, she's going to discuss this at length. She thinks she has a bit of a prophecy bone in her body.
Uh-oh.
And when she speaks about things, or rather people, in length, they die.
Oh, Jesus. So,
it's happened a couple of times before. And I'll say a couple of times, maybe just twice or maybe once. But specifically, we spoke about Kenneth, former president Kenneth Kaunda at length last week when she was on. And then he passed away, I think, like the next day.
Yes,
so now-
but he was 97 and we spoke about him because he went to hospital. I mean, that's not you. What does she think? She's got like a Sangoma. She's a Sangoma because of that? Come on.
That's why I said we need to deal with it and we'll talk to her directly. She said, you know, her actual message to me was maybe my main aim in life is not to be a queen, but rather to be a witch if I'm killing people.
She's a witch. Well, The weekend was rather uneventful, except obviously yesterday was Father's Day, and we did a little Father's Day lunch for my dad, which was really nice. I saw you put up some soppy Father's Day things here, which was very nice. That's very yes. unlike you. You don't usually give your dad terribly much credit, but you were very nice in an Instagram post about him.
You know what? We were talking over the weekend, and then actually, you know, I actually remembered the little crazy man. So, yeah, we spoke a lot over the weekend. My mom tried to hijack the situation. And then my mom, who I totally get being passive aggressive from, said to him yesterday, "So I'm just going to let you enjoy your full day with your family. So I'm going to leave and you stay with the kids." And I thought,
oh, she just gapped it. Nice.
I thought, no, you are just trying to get a day off. Yes. Because you live, you know, my two sisters were around and then they are the grandkids. And then she just up and left. And I thought, what a bitch.
You've got a lot of her in you as well, man.
She's a lot bitch.
Yeah. But, I can see I
mentioned this
one day with your gold digger husband. I can see that. I mean, you're the gold digger, obviously. You're rich husband.
Good point. Yeah. But I mentioned this a little on Friday's show. It's still a marvel to me after so many years how my parents in particular are just always grateful for anything, just anything as gifts. Mm. My go-to gift for my dad is always a Bible. And I guess it is a bit of a collection since it's a Monday. You know, just different Bibles. If it's an old Bible, mm-hmm. If it's a Bible bound in leather, if it's a Bible with artwork on it.
That's
nice.
And
I got him one of those and he's still like, oh, thank you so much.
But that's, like, I think that's quite...
You could have guessed what it is.
It's quite meaningful if you're giving him the same thing but different versions of it every year. It's kind of like he knows what to expect, but it's always exciting because it's going to be a different one every time. I think that's nice. I don't think that's horrible or boring.
It's kind of just another level to the soap on the rope, but he's not grateful.
I think that's... Because it takes a bit of effort, you know? You can't, like, get two of the same.
I guess.
It's a little bit of effort. I bought my dad a walking stick. Now, I knew this was a double-edged sword.
Oh, no.
Because if you buy someone a walking stick, it's usually because they're fucking old, you know, and they
it's like buying your mom wrinkle cream or cellulite gel.
Yeah, I once bought my mom this hand cream, but it said on it for severely dry hands or something. Like, it was just, it was a description.
Aging hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like this description. She went, oh, thanks very much. That's lovely. That's severe, huh? My hands are severely dry. So anyway, she's never forgiven me for that one, but he loves it. It's a beautiful, and I mean, I bought it in Umhlanga now. Umhlanga. I went, saw it in a shop and I bought it straight away. I thought, this is a nice present, and he loves it. I mean, it's quite substantial. I mean, you could really use it as a self-defense tool if you wanted to as well.
Is it like a knock kiwi?
Yeah, it's got like a quite heavy metal head on it, and it's nice wood as well. So you could use it as a proper stick, you know, to fight with if you wanted.
How did you travel back with it then?
That's the funny thing. So they let me on the plane, and I was carrying this stick, and I thought, uh-oh. They're probably going to take this away from me and ask me to put it in the hold or something. They didn't. You can get on with a stick. Mm-hmm. But you know, take your Swiss Army knife that's this big on and they'll take it off of you. Throw it in that bin. So I'm surprised.
In the meantime, you could bludgeon someone with a stick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I could – cabin crew are hardly the strongest people in the world. If I were a ne'er-do-good and I decided to use my stick – to like smack them on their heads, I could do some serious damage. Or else they just didn't think I was a terrorist. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe because of your age now, they didn't look past the stick.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Hey, yeah. Leanne.
Thanks very much.
Coco Leanne, don't start that.
Yeah, says she. Weren't you,
I'm 2 months older than Gareth. I'm allowed to say those
didn't
things.
You have a bun in your hair last week, old lady?
Yeah. Exactly.
Really nice bun you've got there.
So I guess this might be this is more the apt room or audience to have this conversation with. We don't have kids.
No.
And decision for us.
No one will mate with us.
Uh-huh. That's why we don't have kids. Gareth, do you get Father's Day messages? And if you do, does it bother you?
Jesus, if I got Father's Day messages, I'd be terrified. I'd think, oh, shit. I'm going to be paying maintenance now every month. I think for a lot of guys, especially in South Africa, we know how we've got these deadbeat dads, right? I think Father's Day is terrifying for a lot of men. They're like, oh God, just get through this day. Just get through this day. I just don't want that, you know, that child that I think I might've had or didn't have or did have, or maybe there was that one mistake and you know, make it through the day. And they're like, whew. There are a lot of guys waking up this morning going, whew, Father's Day is over. Thank God for that. No, I don't get Father's Day messages. I see a lot of them on social media. It doesn't bother me at all. I think it's really sweet that there are that many people. We know we've got a problem in South Africa with fatherlessness, and we know we have bad male role models for so many people. So when I see other people celebrating their fathers, I'm thrilled. It really makes me very happy.
I think I mean it since it might be different in my circles. You know, for a lot of African cultures and communities, there's you're my sister and it doesn't really matter if you're biologically my sister. But, you know, there's now I'm being viewed as a father. And I'm like, excuse me, I'm still 26 and these are my juicy years. And also, I'm not a father because I don't want to be a father. So don't send me these messages. But, you know, my sisters will send me messages and my cousins will. And they'll say for who you are in our kids' lives. I'm like, ugh, stop with that. I don't want
No, I think that's kind of sweet.
Yeah, often in a shop on Mother's Day, the teller will say, and happy Mother's Day. So
They don't know that you're barren.
And that's the thing. It could be like a really sensitive issue. Maybe I'd like lost my kids in a custody battle that week or something, you know?
Exactly. You don't know.
Or maybe I was actually a man. I mean, if we're going to get all 2021,
exactly.
You know, I could say, well, I'm actually a father.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know.
And I think there's this element of real pain for so many people who have horrible relationships with their fathers, or, you know, they don't have any relationship at all with their fathers.
Their fathers have recently passed away.
Yeah, and then those people take it pretty hard because for them, Father's Day is just a reminder of how much worse off they are than everybody who's celebrating their dads and putting up nice pictures of them. And I mean, I understand that. I put up a thing on, I think on Saturday, of this little girl, and she's like staring woefully at this toy that's been given to her. And it says, absent father. And then where the toy is meant to be, there's nothing in there, obviously. And that's her Father's Day present to herself. But you know,
I know.
Yeah, but some people, you can't joke about that stuff. They take it very seriously, and it's very painful.
No.
So anyway, and then of course you get the single moms who try to steal Father's Day for themselves as well, as if Mother's Day isn't enough. You see, there's absent moms on social media, like Father's Day, me too, a single mom, me.
It's such a minefield these days. Oh. And then there are people who've lost their parents, and then you think, should I send a message to them? I don't know. It's just horrible.
Well, I mean, if you like that kind of thing, there was plenty of that on social media yesterday too. And you know, again, I like it when people are full of gratitude for what they've got. And if you spent Father's Day being grateful for the positive male role models in your life, that's fantastic. Just realize you're in a fortunate position, because obviously that's not the case for all people in this country or in the world, in fact. I mean, you know, there's so many people who are still searching for that father figure. We do have Hanan joining us a little later on, Dr. Hanan Bushkin, who's going to chat to us about a bunch of things, and we'll talk about those with him in a little while. If you've got anything you want to ask him, you can do so by sending us your questions, just gareth@cliffcentral.com. And we can talk about all of the issues that you have psychologically speaking, or that you think you'd like us to unpack with Dr. Hanan in a short while. Let's get into some headlines quickly.
And if Dr. Hanan can't get to your question, just hold fast and hold steady, so that in 3 days' time, the Father's Day chocolates are at a discount, and eat your emotions away.
That's right. Just eat your trouble away. That's exactly right. You know, because that's obviously acceptable. All right, let's talk about this. Officials extinguished a blaze at Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital. I mean, really, as if our hospitals aren't under enough pressure already. Firefighters and security staff on Sunday put out a fire at Chris Hani Baragwanath Academic Hospital. It's understood the fire started in the laundry section, which is also near a COVID vaccination site. Officials suspect that the fire was possibly triggered by a heater that was not switched off by one of the employees. Blaze destroyed the office and a room which kept records of the laundry and some linen. Operations at the facility are running normally, as the blaze was extinguished before it could spread to other parts of the hospital. Thank God for that. We don't need to have a huge part of Chris Hani Baragwanath burned down. Not now, when we need it the most. Or at any time, frankly. When do you need no one's going, oh no, this is a convenient time for a hospital and to burn down. No one said that ever. You know.
Yeah. Let's do renovations now. It's really quiet.
Yeah, always. The Hawks have said they cannot be drawn on speculation surrounding reports that the fugitive self-proclaimed prophet, Shepherd Bushiri, has been in and out of South Africa recently. This guy is just seemingly too important and too rich and too powerful to be arrested. The City Press newspapers reported that Bushiri has managed to flee from authorities in South Africa, claiming he was in the country in April and fled before he was arrested. He and his wife, Mary, who were released on 200,000 rand bail each, were cited as safety concerns. The Hawks have said, we will not be drawn in to comment on speculations on the matter. We therefore appeal to anyone with credible evidence that supports these speculations that are doing the rounds to come forward with information to the police. Meanwhile, in Malawi, the extradition case against them has been in and out of court after the South African government launched an application to have them brought back to the country to face a slew of other charges. Early this month, the High Court in Pretoria postponed the fraud and money laundering case to the 1st of November, even if it's in absentia, which means they don't even have to be here. We can find them guilty without them having to be present. And the objections are pouring in for Qebecha, you know, the name they want to give to PE, because it seems that lots and lots of people were never consulted on this. Bad news for people, though, who did object to the renaming of Port Elizabeth. The Arts and Culture Minister, Natim Tetwa, says it's here to stay. And he was the only one pushing this, by the way. More than 12,000 objections were logged over the names. And not just the names for Qebecha, also Karicha, actually, and King Palo Airport, as well as Chief David Stierman International Airport. I mean, what a lot of shit. Some of these concerns raised were that the new names could impact tourism, that they had nothing to do with the people of Nelson Mandela Bay. But after consulting with the South African Geographical Names Council, Mtetwa has decided all the objections are rejected. Oh, really? He's going to reject them, huh? Nati Mtetwa. Because I've heard even the mayor of PE doesn't like that name.
Oh.
Yes, great. I just think, you know, anything. I understand that there are things that need to be named off, but don't tell me that everybody knows the story of Rebecca. I don't think they do. I don't think very many people in PE can even tell you what that comes from. And if you can't do it, then what are the chances that someone from, I don't know, Holland or Japan or Ouagadougou is going to have an interest in that, and they can't even pronounce it, bro. They're going to be mangling that name for the rest of time. And it's just, I think it's stupid. And it's all come from Nati Mtetwa because he's doing nothing. He's been sitting on his ass as Minister of Arts and Culture. He's not looking after our artists. As I discussed with Mark Lottering, you'll see that on our show on Wednesday. And they should be keeping artists, you know, in business, effectively, while they haven't been able to earn for the last year. But no, it's much easier to rename a city and cause some, make it look like you're doing something, cause some controversy. The South African government says that stones that were found in a village in KwaZulu-Natal are not diamonds, but quartz. Surprise, jeez. Surprise. Apparently, you know, thousands of people rushed to this Kwatlati village, which is more than 300 kilometers southeast of Johannesburg. After conducting tests, they found that the stones are quartz crystals, which are not very valuable at all. After feldspar, quartz is the most abundant mineral in the Earth's crust. The tests conducted conclusively revealed that the stones discovered in the area are not diamonds. And you know what's so sad about this is you had people like abandoning their homes, their families, their jobs to go and pick up these rocks near Ladysmith in KwaZulu-Natal. And they're just, it's quartz. You know, it's like the second most abundant mineral in the crust. It's not, this is such a sad story, but these people are desperate, right?
And let's just think about the fact that these are not professionals. Mm-mm. They were running to these situations, putting themselves in harm's way. I'm thankful that we haven't heard of cases of people who've been injured in the process.
Oh my God, yeah.
But it's just sad.
Well, you know what's going to happen. I mean, you know that there are people who are going to, they're just not going to believe this. They're going to keep on doing this. This is going to become their pipe dream for making millions and for finally being able to send their kids to school or being able to pay for food or being, you know, basic stuff. We're not talking about rich people here. And it's a pipe dream. It's just a joke. It's very, very sad. Finally, Israel's prime minister has called on the US and its allies to wake up to the threat of Iran as talks continue to revive a landmark deal to limit the country's nuclear program. Naftali Bennett said that Iran's regime of brutal hangmen wants nuclear weapons, something Iran has repeatedly denied. And this is obviously flying in the face of all those people who thought that Benjamin Netanyahu was the reason that we had a problem in Israel and with Gaza just recently. Well, clearly not Benjamin Netanyahu, guys, because this guy's got more or less the same policies. And we're not seeing any change in narrative from the people who claim that about Netanyahu. So good luck to you. And I'm in the same sort of sphere of interest here. I think Iran is a danger, not just to Israel, but to the world. And Iran is the chief instigator of terrorism in that part of the world. And Naftali Bennett is exactly right, the new prime minister of Israel, that we need to step up measures against Iran. They are the problem. They're the they're the neighborhood bully, and they're effectively making it possible for Hamas and for Hezbollah and many other terrorist cells all over the Middle East, including in Yemen, to do the damage that they're doing. Just ask the Saudis; they'll tell you about that, or the UAE, or Qatar, or Yemen. They'll tell you all about Iran, but no one wants to hear that story. It's just not as positive as making Israel the bad guy. Anyway, that's what we've got for you this morning in headlines, and we're going to turn our attention to Dr. Hanan Bushkin now to do what we do on a Monday, which has become, for some people, their favorite part of the week, because if you start your Monday with Dr. Hanan, it's better than starting it with all those concerns that you keep hidden and you keep to yourself. You got to get them out there and talk to him about the most important stuff that's going on. And it's delightful to see you. Hello, Dr. Hanan. How are you?
Hello, nice to see you.
Yeah, you look like you've significantly had to warm up your outfit this morning. Is it pretty chilly where you are?
Just driving in the car. It's the first time in this year that the sign came on with 4 degrees.
Oh my god! Yes. I know that sign.
Oh. That's the start of
my
winter.
My car warned me too this morning, yeah. And I thought, is this Armageddon? What is happening?
So there's a lot that we've been receiving from people in terms of email, but I want to go to something that I think that maybe you can help us with. This is, of course, we call it, it's going to be okay. And with the year that we've all been through, that's a message that we need to keep putting out there. And we thought we'd tackle mental health one bite at a time, like eating an elephant. And we'll start the process with Dr. Hanan Bushkin. He's a renowned psychologist and head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg. And I thought we'd talk about Monica's question here. She says, they say we need to self-regulate and not use other people's validation to feel good. But isn't it good to get feedback from people? And you did sort of touch on this last week, Hanan, but how do you find balance, Monica says? And I think that's probably a really good question. So let's start off with who you get your feedback from and how important it is to distinguish between people who mean well for you and people who are just criticizing you because they don't feel good and because they want to pull you down. And then maybe you can give us some pointers as to how much feedback is good and how much you've got to trust your gut sometimes.
So feedback is not only good, it's a must. We function really well. That's as we discussed last week, that orients us to where we are. The way I know that I'm a good father is the feedback. The way I know I'm a terrible dancer is feedback. The way I know I'm a good psychologist is feedback. The way I know I'm a terrible whatever friend, feedback. Mm-hmm. Feedback is what defines my identity. It starts at one day old and it doesn't end for the rest of your life. You know, for those parents, for the newlyborns, you know, we put the newlyborns in these short onesies. I don't know if you know this, but we put them in onesies that are a little bit too small for them. And the reason why is because the baby needs feedback. It needs to push against something to orient itself and feel like it's not falling. So feedback is important for us when we are born and it carries throughout our lives. So it's not about self-regulation. As a matter of fact, we regulate ourselves through external means. You know, people think that self-esteem, my identity, starts from within. My identity doesn't start from within. It starts externally. Self-esteem starts externally. And, you know, like we are born into this world with different temperaments,
Hold on. What you just said is really controversial because there are people running around the world now who say, oh, no, no, whatever I say is true about myself is true. And whatever reality there is outside in the world must just comply with what I feel inside. You're saying the opposite here. And this is a big deal. This is like basically, you know, there are so many people in the world right now who expect the world to bend to their desires for themselves and their own ideas of what their identity might be. You're saying, no, no, no. Your identity is actually established by social feedback.
100%. But not 99%, 100%.
Wow.
We are born into this world, different looks, different temperaments, different personalities. Some people are born into this world looking and sounding like Ferraris, and some people are born into this world looking and sounding like Toyotas. And just because you're a Ferrari doesn't mean you'll have high self-esteem, doesn't mean because you're a Toyota doesn't mean you have low self-esteem, because your self-esteem is not dependent on who you are. It depends on feedback. So if the Ferrari grows up on an off-road track where it's told every day, you're not good enough, you can't do it, you're not good enough, the self-esteem of the Ferrari, the specked up Ferrari, will be zero. You put the Ferrari on the racetrack where the feedback is you're incredible, this is your lane, the Ferrari self-esteem is through the roof. That's why tall people, short people, fat, ugly, whatever people can have unbelievable self-esteem or not, because it's got nothing to do with who you are. It's got to do with the feedback. The trick is getting on the racetrack as opposed to trying to swim uphill or getting on the off-road track. So it's not about that self-regulation, because I say to people, nobody's bigger than their environment. So I get pushback on that. People say to me, well, Hanan, I've overcome my environment and I've moved to another.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You've moved to another, because the environment is the glass ceiling. So nobody's bigger than the feedback that you're getting. If the Ferrari is told, the Ferrari is told, you're not enough. On day one, the Ferrari is going to be like, I don't care. On day two, I don't care. On day three, it really starts to care because the feedback is negative. Well, so it's not about that self-regulation.
Especially if you feel like you're not winning, right? I mean, you say the feedback is negative, but for many people, if they can get a couple of wins in, their confidence is boosted enormously. Absolutely. So, you know, the moment you get some, and yesterday was Father's Day, and I thought it was probably appropriate to refer to this too, because we have many people who don't have positive role models, positive male role models in their lives, who maybe don't have dads, absentee fathers. They've had abusive relationships with their fathers. There are lots of toxic guys in this world. And in South Africa, we seem to have an absolute epidemic of that kind of behavior. We don't have enough great men who just set the perfect example for their sons, their daughters, and everybody else in their lives. So we have a huge amount of pain and hurt there. But if you get some good feedback, it usually starts you off on the right track. And maybe you can come in, bring in that Father's Day stuff, because I saw a huge amount of gratitude on the internet yesterday from people, and then I saw a huge amount of bitterness from others.
You know, Gareth, you as fathers, for those of us who are fathers, you are your children's and mothers, and but you're your children's feedback. Mm-hmm. They wake up and directly and indirectly, explicitly or not so, they're getting feedback from you. How do I orient myself in the world? Am I good enough? Yeah. Am I relevant? Yeah. Am I significant? Am I a part of something? You're giving your children feedback all the time, and you're orienting them to the world. We are not bigger than their environment, and therefore it's not about finding a balance, but rather it's about finding the people in your life that give you that positive, honest feedback that regulates you. Change does not start, this is controversial, but change does not start from within. Change is external. Change does not start from within. We don't change ourselves to change the environment. We change the environment to change ourselves.
Oh, you know, so now when, you've upset the Buddhists as well. Woo. Oh, my God.
Ooh. Yeah, completely. Completely. So when I see, for example, women who are in abusive relationships and they come to me and say to me, Hanan, I'm going to continue staying in the relationship, but can you work on my self-esteem? The answer is no, wow. Because that's your feedback. Change the environment, change the external to change the internal. I know it's controversial, but it's a lot more empowering, because how do you change the internal? So if I say to you, I want you this week, your homework is to develop your self-esteem, go for it. Change the internal. Huh. I want you this week to change your worldview. That's internal. How do you do that? I want you this week to feel happy. Yeah, it sounds really, really nice and very Buddhist, but how do you do that? But if I say to you, I want you this week once to go to the gym, I want you once to say no and set boundaries, I want you once to engage with people that are a person that is good for you, that you can control. Mm. You can't control the internal, you can control the external, and by default will have a significant impact on the internal.
Hmm. All right.
Amen.
Before we wrap it up for this morning, as always, you know, people pull quotes out of having you on every week, and then they kind of spread them around as memes on the internet, which is, it's turning into a thing. And next week, by the way, if you can put in your diary, I want to talk about this supposed addictive personality and get into whether or not people are actually addictive personalities or whether they just make bad choices over and over again. Because I think there's a really interesting discussion there. You know, people, whether it's food, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's gambling, whatever it might be that people are addicted to, we need to explore whether or not there are these supposed addictive personalities, which sounds like something that you know, many people just take for granted as a real thing, or whether it's an excuse for making bad choices. But before we get to that, so Sia is going to be moving on to a new job. Let's just talk about how people deal with those kinds of things in their lives, because there's enormous change. I mean, like you go through the stages of separation, right?
And I have a breakdown on air, that's the topic.
But I suppose this is also for those of us who've worked with him for a long time. We also go through stages of that kind of separation, and for people in relationships, that's very, very traumatic sometimes, and other times it's managed really well. Do you have some pointers for us on how to manage those things?
So, yeah, moving from one relationship to another, one job to another, one home to another. It's actually very difficult psychologically because the brain likes consistency, predictability. As a matter of fact, I was referring earlier to women who are in abusive relationships.
Yeah.
Even moving from an abusive relationship to a very healthy one is very difficult because the brain finds that the common predictable nature of the world, and it likes that. So the moment you move even from something bad to something good or something good to something different,
I mean, really,
your brain needs time to adjust.
Leanne only hits Sia once or twice. I mean, she's not really abusive all the time. And let's just make sure that that's clear. We didn't want to cast aspersions on Leanne's character. But yeah, even ugly, bad situations, your brain prefers the predictable to the unpredictable is what you're saying.
For sure. No, that requires shedding new skin. That's what grief is. Mm. Grief is going, all grief is going from a world that I'm really used to a world that I don't know what to do in. Mm. So, for example, in somebody that's leaving a job to another, Sia, you know this terrain, you know this jungle, and now moving into a desert, the rules are different. The relationships are different. The survival mechanisms are different. The routine is different. And it could be better. It could be the same. It could be worse. It doesn't matter. It's a general idea. But your brain needs time to adjust. People that think that moving from one familiar to an unfamiliar should be easy because it's better. Yeah, intellectually it's better. But the head and the heart work on two different frequencies. You know, so your head can understand it. The head can make sense of it. But the heart needs time to catch up. You know, I usually give the analogy of bungee jumping. Whenever you want to feel comfortable bungee jumping, you don't feel comfortable first and do it second, but you got to do it first. But the moment you do it, the next time you go up there, you might even feel worse because the brain doesn't like it. But now you do it the second time, you feel worse. The third time you start feeling sick, but now you do it 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 times. Now your brain starts to adjust and your heart follow the head. So it's about continuously immersing yourself in the experience, not giving up until you adjust.
Well, here's an interesting point from Lanice.
Okay.
Lanice says it's the same if you move from one country.
I need to hold on to that for the next couple of days.
Yeah.
It's tough. Don't expect it to ever feel very nice or feel that you're in control because your brain needs time to adjust.
I'm just not going to find this answer at the bottom of a wine bottle, right?
No,
you might.
For heaven's sake.
Okay.
Actually, you won't.
Lanice says this also counts for people who move from one country to another, which I think is a thing a lot of people are going through. You know, with the pandemic, it separated families across geography. A lot of people are trying to travel now again. Some of them are returning to the country they're actually from because they were stuck somewhere for lockdown. But people who are emigrating and immigrating, that's a big change too. Your same rule applies, right?
The same rule. So anytime you move, again, the brain likes consistency and predictability. The moment your world is set and you move into another world or another situation, another relationship, another job, your brain goes, I don't recognize this. Error, like a computer screen, not trying to figure out this brand new world. And it needs time to adjust. The mistake that people make in not adjusting is that they don't immerse themselves in the experience. So they move into the experience and out of the experience, in and out. But the moment you immerse yourself, your brain is an incredible machine that just finds a way to kind of make it work and adjust.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much all we have time here for. Sia, do you want to ask anything else quickly?
No, I'm good. I have my morning full.
How do you know if you... you go for it, Leanne.
I just wanted to say what I've taken from this, and it's probably wrong, but I am a Toyota and I'm going to get off the highway.
What do you mean?
In other words, I keep on thinking that I'm supposed to be a Ferrari, but I'm not. I'm a Toyota and I don't have to be in the fast lane. I'm happy to be in the slow lane.
You know, it's so powerful, Leanne, because the moment we're all different. Some people are Toyotas, some people are Ferrari, some people are bicycles, some people are trains. You know, you can use any analogy. We're different. The aim is to find your lane. No one is better than another. A Toyota in its lane can be happier than a Ferrari who is not in its lane. A bicycle that's in his lane can find much greater happiness than a Ferrari that's not in its lane. It's about finding your lane. So it's not just, I was saying earlier, not about immersing yourself in the experience, but it's actually immersing yourself in the lane that you're designed to be in. Because the moment you find yourself, that's like a fish in water.
Yeah. I mean, imagine a Toyota in the fast lane all its life, being pushed by other people and feeling like it's lagging behind.
Not to mention.
And you know what? And most people are. And most people are, because society says this is the only lane that exists for us to be happy. Mm. No. This is the only lane for us to that exists in order to be successful. And people try to fit themselves, a round peg into a square hole, and it just doesn't work. And when you try force that, it breaks.
And not to mention how irritating it is for the rest of us who are trying to get into the fast lane when a slow old Toyota is fucking blocking it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, all right. Thank you. Dr. Hanan, always good to see you, and we'll check in with you in a week's time.
Great to see you guys.
Very good.
Lovely to see you.
All right. Quite a lot. We'll talk about addiction next week, which I think is something we refer to often on this show. And is there such a thing as an addictive personality, or is it just an excuse? Is it something that people are doing because they're looking for, you know, something to blame for their bad decision-making? We'll have to see. We'll speak to Dr. Hanan about that. It's obviously controversial too. But if you've got a question, you can always let us know. Sia, Gavin says the hardest thing about changing a job is that you shit yourself in a suit. It's much harder to clean than if you shit yourself in track pants on this show.
Wow.
Good point from Gavin.
Thanks, Gavin.
You're going to have to carry around an extra pair. You keep one in the car.
Wow. If this, you know what I'm glad about? I'll have a whole new team that is not judging me based on foul incident.
You think so? See, all they're going to do for the first couple of weeks is judge you, and you're going to be the one who comes in from the outside and be, oh, the Sia thinks he's such a big deal because he was in media before. Watch.
There's also going to be this company-wide to all emails sent from all of us going, did you know?
Yeah, I'm going to get out.
Sia once shat his pants.
Yeah. Our audience will let your new employers know. Don't you worry. You can't escape our listeners. I'm sorry. It's this show. We've got the cleverest and most connected people in the whole of South Africa listening to us. They'll find you. Don't you worry. All right. Just coming to your thing. I thought it was interesting. You brought up like the fact that you are looking at the lane that you're in. I was saying to someone the other day, they asked me, how's Leanne? So I said, actually, you know, she's okay. She's an old lady. I was saying to them, like, it's almost as if you've decided deliberately, and I'm not being rude to you, you know, if I wanted to, I would be, but I'm observing like the way your life has changed, and you're almost like living a very different pace of life to the, you know, the Leanne I started working with, who was like out partying every night, kind of having,
you know, it's
the wildest time.
It's a good observation. And I do believe that a lot of it is because I've had such a tumultuous time that I've needed to just withdraw a little bit to heal.
No, I get it.
And I'm certainly feeling an upwind again, and it will happen. It's just been, I've needed to lick my wounds.
Well, as long as the wind isn't coming from your posterior, then we're doing fine.
Well, it's a good place to come from because it propels you upwards, doesn't it?
Let it out. Right. Yes.
No, a jetpack.
But it takes a little bit of introspection to get to a point where you're like that. And that's when you start to heal from the tumultuous stuff that you've been through. So, I mean, I get that. I'm glad you asked Hanan that question. And I think his answer is exactly what many people needed to hear. He's got some really powerful insights, and that's why why when we have him on a Monday, people just they love it. People are asking now, can we have him on for longer and all the no, we've got time. He's not going anywhere. We'll be able to answer your questions. Send me emails, gareth@cliffcentral.com. All right, what we're going to do is wrap up the first hour. We've got Collectomania and a bunch of other cool stuff coming up next. Stick around. It is Monday, the 21st of June. It's the winter solstice today. The shortest day and the longest night. In fact,
we're on the way to summer.
Yeah, I mean, if you were looking outside just now and checking it out, sunrise was the latest it'll happen for this year. this morning. I actually saw it on the app last night and commented on it. Sunrise was at 6:53, which is very late. I mean, usually the sun's up at like 5:30 in summer. So it shows you how much it shifts. Mm. So this is the latest the sun will come up, and it is up now. And this evening is the earliest it'll go down again. Shortest day, longest night, winter solstice. And, of course, it's the day that all the demons come and steal your soul while you sleep. So there's something nice to think
about. Oh, no.
Yes.
But don't let the sun go down on me.
Okay, all right, all right. That's enough for now.
CliffCentral.com